in game three of the series. OKC now takes a 2-1 series lead. They won by 30-something last night. Last I checked, they're up 30. There's no need for me to watch. Plus, I just graduated. I was going out to dinner. I lost interest. But initial thoughts from the game. We'll start with you, Derek.
I really wasn't able to watch as much of it. I was working at the time, so I had to kind of glance up and down and hear the sure. woes of the people at the bar who were not happy with the way it was going because it went south pretty fast for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it was a little interesting to see. I mean, you could expect OKC to come out on their home court just ready to go. That's their home court. Sure. They feel jazzed. They got one in at Oakland. They're feeling like they can maybe take them on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Warriors didn't respond. It's interesting to see how they're going to go. And obviously, each game means more than the next, you
right.
know. And
right.
I'm interested. It just makes it more enticing to me right now, the series.
Yeah, I agree. Chase, do you feel like the series has shifted now where OKC should be the favorites? Or do you still think Golden State is the prohibited favorites in this?
I don't think there is a favorite really anymore in this series. I think, kind of like we were talking before, Golden State was at such a high level, mm-hmm. and OKC was kind of at a, no one trusted them.
Sure.
And now it's almost evened out.
Yeah.
What got me in that game was, like what you said, was how it went south real quick.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden State was down by 6, then all of a sudden it's
25.
It's 20, yeah, right. 25, 28. Oh, Waiters just jumped over Curry
yeah.
to throw it down. And if Waiters is doing that.
Yeah, when Waiters is dunking on you, you're in a bit of trouble. The second I saw that, I got up and just started getting ready to go out to dinner because at that point, it was clear the game was going to be out of hand. It was just one of those games. I watched the first half in its entirety pretty much, and I just knew from the outset the way you can tell when Golden State's having an off night because they stopped moving the ball. Even when they've had bad games before, they still typically tend to move the ball. And you saw a lot of what we call hero shots. A lot of guys going one-on-one and going ISO. And that hasn't been the Warriors game all season. It seemed like they were pressing. I don't know if you guys got that impression at all, but it seemed to me like they were pressing and trying to get the lead back.
I definitely think once they got to that point, like I said, it went 6, 20. What? Where are they now?
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, every time I glanced up, it just got worse and worse for them. And I think once you start, it's that quicksand effect. That
right.
Once you start seeing, you start fighting back more, and all you're doing is fighting a bigger hole because you're putting up shots that are terrible, that aren't going in. Therefore, you're not getting points to get closer in them, and your defense is faulting at that point.
Right.
Because you're thinking, man, we got to get back into this. Now your defense is looking like crap. They're scoring. You're not. Bam.
Yeah.
That's why you lose by 30.
It almost seems like they fell right into OKC's plan where the way to beat OKC is to make Russell Westbrook and KD beat you and take all the shots. And they were moving the ball. Really, they played like the Warriors yesterday in a certain sense where they were actually moving the ball. And the Warriors played like we expected OKC to play, where Steph's coming down going one-on-one. We're seeing Klay
yeah.
take some bad shots, quick shots. We saw a lot of quick shots.
Well, it reminds me a lot of playing NBA 2K. When you get down by a little bit, you're like, I just need to shoot as many threes as I can.
Yeah, and get back in this. Yeah.
And then you forget to play defense.
Right.
What also interested me was I was listening to a podcast and they said no other team in the NBA has a guy that can get under everyone's skin like Draymond Green. That's his job. It's to upset basically the establishment. You know,
sure.
You're playing Carmelo, get Carmelo out of the game. Playing LeBron, get him out of the game. Well, OKC has two players that can get under people's skin with
right.
Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
Mm.
Russell Westbrook will be right in your face, and it's over. Everyone knows that he's going to do
right.
it. Everyone thinks KD is like the nicest dude on earth because he's super quiet. But I mean, when you start reading his lips and everything,
he's constantly talking.
He's cold. Like, he's ready to get you. And the fact that you have them both getting under Draymond's skin along with Steven Adams and everyone else, I think they're no longer in winning the mind game.
Yeah.
You know, and OKC is physical. Like, they can compete at that level. So when you're losing the one area that 9 out of 10 times you're going to win, everything has to go right.
Yeah, I agree.
And they also have, like I said, they're a big physical squad, like you're saying. They're big, too. Like, Adams, big dude out there.
Yep.
Ibaka, playing big. Kanter, another big guy. And they're winning the rebound battle, which
and
is a
Kevin
really
Durant.
Big thing. Exactly. Kevin Durant, another guy who says he's 6'10 because he doesn't want to be a 7-footer
right,
shooter.
Right,
but,
right.
you know, he's still a 7-footer out there. And they're winning the rebound battle. They had 52-38 was the rebounds in favor of OKC. And that's a trend that's been happening in these games right now.
Yeah.
And I did say at the outset that I really think their ability to play with big size OKC is the Warriors' kryptonite right now, and they're kind of the Warriors got to find a way to suit up and fight that because
to me it all boils down to ball movement for the Warriors, because that's how you beat these big teams, is you drive and kick and you get them switching and moving. And this is, for Warriors fans, this is what's scary to me. It's not OKC so much as it is Steph's health to me. When he's shooting, he does not look right. He's coming down, he's favoring the leg he hurt, or the sprained MCL he had. He's minus 39 right now, plus minus, which is kind of shocking for a guy who led the league in plus minus. And if you look at the advanced numbers, what Steph did this season, he led the league in win share, led the league in true plus, or in true plus minus, and value over replacement, which essentially is saying he killed it all season, as we know, first unanimous MVP. And he does not look that way in this series. And I really think the biggest indication of that is when they switch out a big man on him, because all season he's like licking his chops. You see that big man get switched on him, and now he's settling for jumpers. He's not really dribbling around him, and he seems fine going straight up and down the court. But when he's going side to side, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but he just doesn't look as sharp.
He doesn't have the lateral quickness that he was kind of known for. I mean, I think also what I noticed is OKC is getting about legally as physical as you can get with Steph in today's NBA. You know, it's not to the extreme of the Jordan rules and the bad boy Pistons era.
Yeah.
But every time he goes up, I mean, Westbrook is there. You know, they're making sure.
And Westbrook is he's the biggest, best guy he's faced up in this point right now. Dame Lillard, enough props to you, but you're not Russell Westbrook in your physicality. Yeah, Russell Westbrook is a scorer and a physical guy who can play great defense, and he's got size on Steph. Much so, very much size. I mean, they're roughly around the same height, but you can just see it on Westbrook. He's got the mass about him. Yeah, and that's really something I you know, even if, like I said, you were thinking that when he's switching out, that's where he's going to get his points out, and he's not getting that because, like you said, that lateral quickness is not there, and that's how you get the big guy. The big guy doesn't have the lateral quickness.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you need that to get past him, and that's how he was, you know, getting his bread and butter.
Right. Usually what you see in those situations is when the big man switches up top on Steph, he takes him side to side, waits till the big man favors a particular side, gets him off balance, and either goes around him or steps back and drains a three. And he's just been settling for threes, and I haven't seen him really go around these guys at any type of regularity like he did all season. So we'll see. Again, the Warriors did in game two smash OKC by 27 or something.
Yeah.
So it's not unheard of to see OKC then turn around, and it wouldn't be a shock to see the Warriors then win by 20 in game four. But it wouldn't be a shock to see OKC.
Yeah, this series definitely gets interesting by the game, and that's it. Truly is like this one just became way better because of this outset. Because the Warriors need a win right now.
Yeah,
but we're on that verge of like, okay, we always expect them to win, but the expectation is kind of fading from us right now. Maybe it's not for you're the diehard fan, but I think for the rest of America, we kind of see OKC.
Well, I guess
slightly off their pedestal right now.
Yeah, I could see. Well, Vegas has OKC favored to win the championship now at 37% odds.
There we go. There's the rest of the country.
So, yeah, I think that things have shifted. I think the interesting point, or something very interesting, is we've talked at length about when is the tide going to turn on the Warriors, where they're not so lovable and people begin to hate them and blah, blah, blah. You, me, and Noobs have talked about this for the last month now.
Yeah.
And I think that's happening right now. You look at even my Twitter timeline, all these people came out of the woodworks to let me know that the Warriors just lost by 30. I'm well aware, and it's one game. I do think that OKC may end up winning, but that doesn't take away necessarily from what the Warriors have done all season. So we'll see. That's another
question on that. Does the case, like you just said, you think OKC might win the championship? It did come out. You did just say that.
Well, I
feel it. You said it could happen.
It could happen. Yeah, it wouldn't be a shock if it happened.
Does it tarnish the Warriors season if they don't finish off correctly.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. It changes everything.
I mean, if they win the championship this season, we're talking about a potentially greatest team of all time. I'm not saying that they are, but I'm saying if you just look at what they did this regular season, obviously having more wins than anyone, I think you have to cap that off with a championship. No matter what they did this regular season will be memorable. But I don't want to say it's all for naught if they don't win, but it really does tarnish what this team's been all season if they
2007
don't.
New England Patriots.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, everyone forgets how dominant they were throughout the season, that they clearly were the best team. All anyone remembers is the David Tyree catch.
Yep.
And the biggest upset in NFL Super Bowl history.
Yeah, I mean, again, this wouldn't be that because you're playing two future Hall of Famers, and of the three best players on the court, OKC has two of them.
Yeah.
So I even said before the series started, I would not be shocked. I'd be surprised, but I would not be shocked because I don't think you can be shocked when they have those two guys.
Yeah, and like I said, this just kind of is a statement to this rest of the people in the NBA right now are really good. Like the, I mean, granted, Toronto, we can say something about them. They're not a top, I don't think a top four of the squads left, but like the Spurs got knocked out last round. Mm. But we have great talent on those two teams. OKC, like I said, two of the best guys in the NBA, top five talents right there. And it just kind of goes to show you that at any point in time, anyone can take it at this point.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of, that's what makes it more interesting to me at this point, especially with the Lakers not even being close to being anywhere near good.
Number two pick, though.
Yes.
You guys got the number two pick.
All right, future.
2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Toronto, let's just jump into that series real briefly here. Does this series have a chance of getting interesting? Obviously, game four is going on right now, so I'm not asking you necessarily to predict the future because none of us know what's going to happen. But just from your general interest, because they won game three at home, does that make you want to watch the series? Because we said on our TV show, we didn't watch game one and we laughed about it because why? We know how the series is going to end up. Does Toronto winning game three change your opinion about the series at all? We'll start with you, Derek.
I wouldn't say I'm not going to pick them to win it. So
sure.
I changed my opinion. It gives me maybe promise for their future that they can get something to build off of. I don't think they're going to go win much more than that one. I think the Cleveland will make work of them at home tonight and then finish them off at home themselves and get on to the finals. But Toronto, like I said, they have some impressive talent about them. Like I said, that Bismack Biyombo, he's an athletic young guy that is promising and can provide a lot of energy.
26 rebounds?
26 rebounds, four blocks, like 7 points, something like that. Great line for a guy of his, what he was supposed to be out there and doing, just cause a ruckus.
That's
you know
what he's there for.
Exactly. And that's, seeing that's like, I like seeing that type of play from people.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much my only kind of shining spot is seeing someone like that going out there and just balling out whether his team's going to make it or not.
Because
for the most part, no one's really given him much more than this game.
Toronto could win tonight and I still don't care.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I think they can build for the future, but we see it all the time in the NBA. It seems like a lot of the upstart teams that have key free agents, which they do, you rarely retain them.
Yeah.
And usually they plummet back to earth pretty quick. And you look at, they might be that flash in the pan team that came around real quick and has gone real quick. And they may win tonight and make it a 4-2 series, but LeBron looks like a man on a mission right now. And Kevin Love is playing great. I just
say, Drake,
if
you're listening right now, this guy, his name is Chase, and he is greatly dissing your team right now. So
I'll greatly diss Drake right now.
I know Drake's not listening, but
how do you know?
You never know. Yeah, right. Yeah,
pretty far.
Come on, Canada is all about the people.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Why wouldn't they listen to community radio here in Chico? I don't see this series. I think it. Obviously, you get a lot more appeal. I don't know what the score is right now. Maybe one of you guys can check that.
13-5, Toronto.
Okay. So
7 minutes left in the first.
Yeah, it's early. It'd be a lot easier to do this show if the game was already over. We'd have a lot more to talk about, but clearly we don't. So let's move on. So we're talking about this off-air shortly before the show started. And a new report is breaking today, and it's a bit difficult to talk about just because there are a lot of details pouring out, and so I don't want to try and sift through all of them. But here's, in a nutshell, what's going on. The NFL pulled funding from a federal research grant that was doing research on head injury and head trauma. And apparently what's going on here is that the NFL didn't like the results that this research was discovering. And so the NFL decided to pull their money and basically halt the project. Just with that information, without knowing anything else, because like I said, there are a lot of details, it gets a little mucky, and there we'll know next week when we do the show, we'll have a lot more information, I'm sure, but this just broke this morning. So just with the information I just gave you guys, your initial thoughts, Chase, we'll start with you.
It's the classic NFL. It's everything they've done since their foundation, which is get results that they want to see, hide the ones that they don't, mm-hmm. and ignore clear evidence that can exist forever. I mean, they've done this from the point where the Rooney Rule had to get put in place, right. which was dealing with administration, now all the way to players' health. I mean, it's a known thing. I mean, how many players have killed themselves since the 80s?
Yeah.
And it was just, oh, they're depressed. And then their psychiatrists are coming out saying, we never diagnosed them in the 20 years we saw them for depression.
Right.
I mean, who knows if Junior Seau may still be here.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for all the concussions. I mean, the man had over 10 of them in his career and was urged to keep playing.
Right. Not yeah. to mention, there were several games where he apparently had a concussion and went back into the game.
Yeah, I
mean, that recently,
it's bad.
That recently came out. So, Derek, what do you think?
I mean, I obviously with agreeing with what Chase is saying about it, it's just kind of a sad statement that ultimately we kind of have to look at ourselves about. I feel, because we're ultimately the ones that give the NFL its power. Because we're the ones that have given a day of our life to watch them.
Right.
We're the ones that give our money to buy their jerseys, to buy their tickets, to go to their stadiums. And we do it every single year, every single day we're doing it. And we're talking about them all the time. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't enjoy the game for what it is. We should.
Well, not Noobs and Jake. They took a season.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. I completely respect them for doing that right
too.
There.
That was
awesome.
Yeah.
But except, unfortunately, we're a small market Chico community radio station. That's when we do it. Sure, it's a great sentiment, but it has no effect.
Yeah,
ultimately.
I would say it had a little. It made waves here in Chico. They're in the CNR. It was awesome. But yeah, no. To your greater point, you're right. We all still watch the game.
Yeah, we still do.
I guess that's where I want to go with this conversation, if we could, is do you think that with this coming out, with all the scandals that have broke over the last 4 or 5 years now, I mean, it almost seems that weekly you're getting an update on your phone or you're seeing across the crawl on ESPN or any other major sports outlet that you watch. The NFL is involved in yet another scandal, whether it be a player acting inappropriately, whether it be
what you're saying. Yes, the NFL has greatly been tarnished, so, and its reputation is very much in the drains, yet we still held it in such high regard.
So do you think at any point that their armor gets cracked to the point where they begin losing money, they begin losing an audience, they begin losing viewers? Does that happen? I guess the question is, what do you think it would take for that to happen? Because we've seen it time and time again. They do Thursday Night Football. It's garbage. We still tune in.
Yeah.
You know, the players with all this concussion stuff comes out. We still tune in. You know, players like Greg Hardy get reinstated. We still tune in. So they continue to do this, and we continue to watch. What will it take for us to finally tune out and not be interested? Or is there something?
I mean, that's the big question right there. I don't know what it is. It seems like it's going to have to be something really momentous, and that's what's scary, because if something that this bad that's happening right now and we aren't able, that we can see it, we know about it, yet we still kind of participate in it, it's I think we're just going to, it seems like it just kind of has us by the throat at this point, and we're just, all right, we're fine with that.
Yeah.
It would take a player's strike that would actually last for clear reasons of mental health and career longevity. The continued retirements, I think, is going to more and more, because these players aren't saying, oh, I'm retiring because I want to be with my family or I want to be a lawyer. These players are saying, I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to walk when I'm 50, or that I'm not going to remember things when I'm 40. I mean, you know, when you have the Niners last year losing basically half their team to an early retirement. You have Calvin Johnson, who people considered maybe the greatest since Jerry Rice, walking away saying, I don't think my legs are worth this risk. I mean, it's gonna hurt the game. I think also another sports league getting to the point where the NFL is, whether it's the NBA, whether it's baseball, it's not going to be hockey. But if one of those other leagues takes that place,
yes.
I mean, it would. If one of those sports takes that top spot, all of a sudden you start looking at it. I mean, look what happened with the NBA when it kind of dipped in the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
All of a sudden people began looking at things more of, oh, how are the players spending their money? How are they acting at night?
Right. Well,
we don't want to watch them. We demand that he get traded. We demand that he get cut.
Yeah.
I mean, Adrian Peterson is still on the Vikings.
Right.
Greg Hardy still got the play.
Yeah.
Tom Brady maybe suspended 4 games for football. And we all care.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was more news on Tom Brady, but I refuse to talk Deflategate on here. And when Jake gets back, if he wants to, God bless him, let him do it, but I am not going to talk to Deflategate. And I know Noobs probably appreciates that, because that has been the biggest waste of government funds since the Barry Bonds investigation. It's just such a waste of time.
Yeah.
Everything about it is such a waste of time. But it's the NFL has a power structure that almost seems undefeatable at this point, right? I mean, they have taken that line in Concussion. They own a day of the week. But they do. They own Sundays. We all, I know the three of us, because we've spent many Sundays, the three of us have my house watching Red Zone and watching the Sunday night, you know, watching 10 hours, 12 hours of football at my house. You know, so we all still tune in. We complain about different things and how garbage Thursday night football is, how much we can't stand Greg Hardy, you know, how horrible of a person, like you mentioned, Adrian Peterson is behind closed doors. All these things. And we still tune in. You bought a Josh Norman jersey, you know, we still give him our money.
Yes.
I paid for Red Zone so we could all come over and watch the games at my house. I mean, we're still devoted to these teams, to this league. And I think it's going to take multiple players dying on the field. And I'm not joking. I think that's what it's going to take potentially for people to finally say, I've had enough. I'm out of here.
I mean, like I said, obviously that's a very drastic a player strike. I think if they all take it seriously,
yeah, that would probably work as well.
Yeah, probably would be. And
that's
them just and them
reasonable.
Saying them doing that, but like I said, it's NFL has kind of provided an outlet for people who maybe didn't have much of an opportunity to actually make money, you know, and that's unfortunately what a lot of people see as their only option. So a lot of them will go to hell and back to be able to do that. And if it means putting their body on the line, I think a lot of them are maybe willing to risk that. And that's, you know.
The other thing I think that could do it is when you have Deion Sanders, you have these great players saying, I will never let my younger kids play this game.
Yeah.
I think that will do it, because I think we've seen so much greatness that we're weirdly following these, you know, 10, 13, 14-year-olds with, are they going to be like their dad?
Yeah.
And I think if all of a sudden that dude says, now I'm going to be a painter.
Well,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, you just see the numbers. It's already happening where less and less parents are letting their kids play. And basically, football is going to become an inner city sport before too long, because it's still going to be a way out for many kids from the inner city where, you know, affluent, mainly Anglo-Saxon America, their kids have other opportunities. They can support their kids, get them, you know, pay for college, those type of things, where inner city kids are going to be predominantly your them in the South is in the next 20 years. Those are going to be the only people playing football.
I think what could also help is right now you kind of have the deal with the NCAA where basically these players know they're on almost life support. From the point of they get injured, that scholarship goes away. All their their opportunities are gone. If those were made permanent, maybe those players stay the full time. Maybe they decide, I have another alternative besides playing football.
And I think that's also a good point, too, right there, that we should stop looking at football as a professional thing, as more of a game to play. And if that's the case, use it as a tool to get you to school. And then actually, I think if we use it in that way, but instead we have it as this is your way to make money, instead of this is your way to get you to make money, to get to a school, to actually utilize it. And maybe we don't, like I said, that's big, the biggest problem is that we started taking college sports so seriously. We started betting on them. We take, like, they're the The new year is dedicated to college sports, essentially. Right. We have a month dedicated to college sports. And I think when you started putting that much emphasis on college sports, you put much more of an emphasis on actually getting to the pros and being a better athlete in that regime instead of, hey, I'm just playing this game so I can get a free education right now. Right. And I'm willing to have it because I love playing football. I love playing basketball, baseball, whatever your sport might be. Rowing, I don't care. It's my way to get to school so I can actually get an education. And what the NFL should do is require their players to stay all 4 years. I'm not taking you early. I'm sorry. Get a degree. If you want to be in the NFL, you better have a degree first. That's, I think, maybe a step the NFL could do to try to educate their players.
Or if you leave early in your off season, instead of going to the OTAs that no one ever goes to, take a summer class.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, we could do hours on this show of how backwards the NCAA is. I mean,
they're the only organization that makes the NFL look charitable.
I mean, it's a good point. The greed seems to have no ceiling when it comes to the NCAA, and it's been past due time for them to do some reform when it comes to how the NCAA, especially Division I, treats their athletics. So I think we should table that for another time. But I think you bring up an interesting point, Derek, just the way that football is viewed and how these sports are viewed and how these players are recruited. They're recruited to, hey, come here, we'll get you millions of dollars. You just got to sacrifice your body for us for the next 3 years. Oh, by the way, you need to be a full-time college student and also put in 40 hours on the football field. Even though they're only allowed 20 hours, we all know.
And we can't pay you any money, so you're going to have to find a way to eat food properly. And,
right.
Yeah, live okay.
Give you a couple hundred a week maybe for food stipends, but other than that, you know, while your coach is pulling up in a Mercedes-Benz and taking private jets to go recruit, you guys, just sacrifice for us a little bit. You know, we got to eat over here. But like I said, we could spend hours on that. So let's plunge forward with a few newsy topics here. The Sharks, same old Sharks if you ask me. Series tied 2-2. St. Louis is currently up 2-1 in game 5 at the end of the first period. I don't want to spend too much time on hockey right now. I think it'll be a lot better to talk about this when the series concludes. All I got to say is, if you ask me, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. Same old Sharks.
I love it.
You are a Debbie Downer, man. Just completely bringing down the Sharks Nation
right
now.
Here's the thing.
All those San Jose lovers that we have here.
I used to be a huge Sharks fan. And I saw this year after year after year, and I also like basketball, and I decided I don't have enough time, especially once I became an adult, to watch both sports. Especially when one team, at least I knew with the Warriors growing up, that they were going to be disappointing. I knew that going into the season. I'm so sick of the Sharks showing promise, being good all season, getting in the playoffs, and just choking. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But
I mean, I like the fact that you're just able to accept the fact the loss is right there. And you're like, Warriors, we'll be losers together. Write it out. Yeah.
I was good with that.
Yeah, all right.
No,
I get it. Once you accept defeat for a while, it's pretty easy to just kind of take it on the chin all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you almost get numb to it. And real quick, the Giants have won 10 of their last 12. They just won the weekend series against the Cubs, who are obviously leading the National League. They took the series 2-1. Bummy pitched great yesterday. I believe he had 6 Ks, and he batted in the only run, so helping his own cause there.
Good on you.
And it looks like the Dodgers have ran into a bit of a hard time here. Derek, your thoughts? Derek is a Dodgers fan. For those of you who don't know, I'm a Giants fan, so we like to give Derek a hard time whenever the opportunity seems to present itself.
And
so
there are a lot of opportunities being presented this season.
We have 2 minutes in the show. I will let you... the floor is yours, brother.
I don't want 2 minutes to talk about how bad the Dodgers suck right now. I'm sorry.
I tried to walk you right into that trap. I'm not going to do it.
No,
I really did.
I mean, apart from we having Kershaw and having actually a pretty good season, it sucks. It's sad because, like I said, it just kind of brings it to the point. I'm really looking forward to that trade deadline moment in July because there are a lot of teams that are still in this. They're still wanting to be in this race that still have viable options to win the ship this year or actually make the playoffs in general. So it just really kind of brings the point that the Dodgers are expected to make the playoffs and they're expected to win a championship. So they obviously have to do some moves this coming season to make that happen, because we don't have the right pieces, along with a lot of other teams out there who, you know, trying to find that right team, get the right puzzle pieces to make a run at something. And, I mean, good on the Giants right now.
We'll see what happens.
It's like I said, we're not even in June yet. The dog days of summer have yet to hit. So
right. No, we're super early, and that's what I would say to all Giants fans is let's relax. I've seen Twitter the last few days, and yeah, we beat the best team in the league, took that series, but I mean, we're in May.
Yeah.
So let's chill out, everyone. Hopefully we can keep this up, but it's baseball. They're going to have, you know, hot streaks, and then they're going to get cold, and the Dodgers are going to do the same, and I think it's still going to boil down to those two teams in the division. So, again, a lot of baseball to be played.